All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota. It's another beautiful day up north. It's Monday, April 24th. Bundle up for the bus stop or the commute to work. It is 30 degrees in Chippewa Falls on April 24th. It's 29 in Wausau, 31 in Amory. Waukesha is checking in at 27 in Green Bay, Oshkosh 32, Richland Center 25, Wisconsin Rapids 24 degrees right now. And in Madison, where you would find one Aaron Zommers, it is, that was the wrong button to push, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm tiny. Oh, no, there we are.
So, I was going to say, sorry, we're playing with the video feed that you see on Facebook here, and suddenly we got an extreme close-up here, and nobody needs to see me and Aaron that close this early in the morning. Coming up this morning, we will have a little Wisconsin sense about respecting democracy when it comes to matters of policy and government. It comes first. Ahead of any individual or political party wants or needs, but too many politicians are getting really comfortable with trampling on democratic norms when it suits them. We'll have details on that. Also, Wisconsin is likely to have a tougher time attracting and retaining good doctors because of its 1849 abortion ban. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will look at new statistics that go into her Told You So file. And there, what else do we have? Oh, it's Motherhood Monday, when our friends from Motherhood from Good will join us to tell all the busy moms how important it is to stay on top of current events and keep your local officials honest. This time they discuss the urgency of telling politicians in Congress and the legislature to stop blocking common sense gun safety measures that have overwhelming public support. Plus, Terry Bell will have the three things you should know to start the week. Terry and Aaron and I were joined by Luke Mathers and Todd Alba at the Brewers game on Friday night, which I thought went very well, except for the outcome of the game.
Yeah, besides that, it was a great time. And I definitely have to say...
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you like the play, right?
Yeah, definitely. But as far as that goes, for those of you who might be trying to win some Brewers tickets, we don't have any to give away right now, but next time we do, you definitely should call in because they were really good seats.
Holy cow. That was a nice surprise. And look, there are a lot of good seats all around American Family Field, but these babies are club level, meaning you go to the escalator, and it's one of those where you think you might see St. Peter at the top of it. It takes you way up to the club level, which is kind of a private entrance area with a big old hallway. It's, kind of carpeted corridors with, a lounge and a bar area. There's a dessert cart going around. And so these aren't the luxury suites, but these are the seats that are right below them. Row two. We did all right there, Aaron.
Oh, definitely. And behind home plate.
Yep, just to the left of home plate, and we did all right. And I think most importantly, Mr. Mathers didn't get us kicked out because he's a spirited fan, I have to say. When we met him, he had a 12 pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon tucked under one arm, and he was ready for some instant tailgating.
Oh yeah, if any of us had been willing to shotgun a beer, I imagine he would have downed a few more before going in.
he's really good at it. Oh, to be that young again. But keep in mind that while we don't have tickets right now to give away, there is a Brewers homestand going on. We'll talk more about the game in a couple of minutes. But just remember, you can hear the Brewers over on our Oshkosh radio station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM throughout the Fox Valley. Now, you can also catch the Brewers on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. That's at 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. And when we give those tickets away here on Up North News Radio, we make them ridiculously easy because we want you to take the tickets. And now that we've seen where the seats are, you are really going to want to get these tickets. So keep that much in mind. Let's see. We had one overnight development that's worth mentioning, although I have to admit I have never watched the show Dancing with the Stars. How about you, Aaron?
I used to. Like when it was new, the first few seasons, my family watched it.
Okay. Well, Len Goodman, the long-serving judge on Dancing with the Stars, passed away overnight. Yep, his agent said he was 78 years old. And let's see, I guess he'd been fighting bone cancer and was in hospice. But where he was a former professional ballroom dancer and a British champion. And before Dancing with the Stars, as so many things in American TV, it's a ripoff of something that, you know, Great Britain did first. And in the UK, they had a show called Strictly Come Dancing. For 12 years, Len Goodman was on there from its launch in 2004. And the story from the Associated Press says that Goodman's pithy observations delivered in a Cockney accent endeared him to viewers. "You floated across that floor like butter on a crumpet," he remarked after one foxtrot. He praised a salsa dancing couple as like two sizzling sausages on a barbecue. So I guess he was a little colorful that way.
Oh, definitely. He was like, all the judges were great on that show.
Mm-hmm. Well, he struck me from what all these little clips I see as just a nice person. Now, again, you never know people in real life, but he sure seems to be thought of as a really nice person who's going to be missed.
He definitely seemed like it. Like sometimes judges on shows can seem really cocky, but he seemed very nice.
Yeah, no Simon Cowell here. Len Goodman passing away at the age of 78. We will take a break. When we come back, we will get into sports here. Forecast. We'll talk more about that cold weather that's sitting over Wisconsin right now. Headlines and much more all on the way for Up North News Radio on a Monday. Hey, whether it's up early with me on the radio, uplifting stories with Christina Laurie in our newsletter, or being up to date on social media news and features with Sherita Booker, you can catch all of our work at Up North News WI on social media, and upnorthnewswi.com is the website for all things Up North News, a separate entity from Courier Newsroom that is nice enough to let us park on their front lawn for 2 hours every weekday morning. Nice to have you along. Coming up tomorrow on the program, I'm here in Chippewa Falls, and I'm going to be talking to a Chippewa Falls teacher, but not just any teacher, one who has written a couple of history books, and his newest one is out, and it's called World War II Hero Harry Kramer. And it's all about a young man who was one of the first casualties of World War II for the U.S. He was in Pearl Harbor, born and raised in Chippewa Falls, didn't have any direct family, you know, didn't marry, didn't have kids. So after his parents and siblings were gone, his life essentially wasn't really known or shared by anybody else anymore. In fact, a plaque that noted his passing that they hung up in the Chippewa Falls High School shortly after Pearl Harbor, that had been taken off the wall and, you know, put in a room in storage someplace. Well, John Kinville, this teacher, along with others as part of the Flags for the Fallen project, found a box of letters that he had written to and from family and friends as he was stationed in Pearl Harbor and on a battleship. And from that, reconstructed and tells the story in this book of one young Wisconsin man's life and what it was like in those days before Pearl Harbor. So John Kinville will talk to us about that. On Thursday, we will have Senator Tammy Baldwin on the program. You might recall hearing about the CHIPS Act last year. That is where the U.S. is essentially kickstarting the manufacturing of semiconductors and trying not to rely on other countries for some very vital pieces of our information technology infrastructure. Well, there are going to be big manufacturing plants located around the country to work on these semiconductors. While Wisconsin is not getting one of the manufacturing plants, there will be these regional technology hubs created around the country to, again, help create the next generation of what I would call tiny technology. And Senator Baldwin is going to talk about the effort there to have one of those hubs located here in Wisconsin. In sports, the Brewers lost to the Red Sox 12-5. I suppose, take the blame for a couple of these things. I went to the game Friday in which they lost. And then on Sunday, I didn't turn on the game until the start of the eighth inning. And at that point, the Brewers were up 4-3 heading into the top of the eighth. And then the Red Sox scored 9 runs in the eighth inning. Masataka Yoshida homered twice in the inning. He became the only the fourth rookie in Major League history to hit 2 home runs in one inning, and the first to do it since 1962. Brian Anderson did have 2 home runs for the Brewers in that losing cause. The Detroit Tigers are now coming to town. They will be here tonight and tomorrow night at 6:40, and then Wednesday at 12:40. Let's see, and then they'll have Thursday off before the Anaheim Angels come to town for a 3-game series. Over the weekend, Garrett Mitchell is likely out for the year with a left shoulder injury, which came as a shock to all. And again, might be my fault, since I was saying that Garrett Mitchell might very well be the future of the franchise. Colin Ray will start for the Brewers in tonight's game against the Tigers. Meanwhile, the Bucks, they lost over the weekend, and now they're down 2-1. But I hope you understand what that means. If you're one of those Bucks in 6 people, we got Miami right where we want them. Because now that we're down 2-1, all we got to do is, you know, win the next 3, and then it's Bucks in 6. But to do that, we got to take care of business tonight in Miami. Bucks in Miami to take on the Heat, 6:30 start time. TNT will have the game. Then game 5 will be Wednesday, and that will be back in Milwaukee. Again, we are on track for a Bucks in 6, we hope. 6:20 now on a Monday morning. Did you get to see Northern Lights late last night? I certainly did not, given my early bedtime. But as I'm scrolling through all kinds of news from folks overnight, a lot of pictures being put up from people, you know, in the Middleton area, off Lake Michigan, off Milwaukee, certainly points farther north. So I hope you got a chance to see them. I have not been able to, and I've got a nice north-facing view here on Lake Wissota, but between my early bedtimes and cloud cover and trees and such, I am definitely one of the more unlucky watchers of Northern Lights out there. And plus, it's a little chilly out there. I mean, 40s and 50s for highs all week long. We'll have some chances of showers here and there, otherwise quiet. Rivers are cresting this week. They are either at bank stage or, in many cases, some minor flooding going on. So, again, please take care when you're on roads or just anywhere near the swollen and very fast-moving rivers. Don't for a moment take anything for granted in terms of, you know, not just the current, but also the ground that you're on or driving on. If you can't see it and you don't know what's been washed away, don't go on it. Please, we want everybody to stay safe, and we will get a full update on the statewide forecast from Weatherology coming up in about an hour. Now to some headlines around the country. You can choose, if you wish, to react to them. You can vent a little about them. You can tell me some of these stories are no big deal, though I think I might disagree with you, but it's totally your call. And you can make that call at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. And if you're watching the live feed on Facebook, either at the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, or the page for Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, you can leave a comment there. And if we see it and like it, we'll put that up on screen as well. And our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Well, first, a headline from the New York Times, I think, says it pretty well. After abortion rights supporters swept 6 ballot measures last year, Republican legislatures around the country are looking to make it harder to get on the ballot and harder to win if there's a vote. And the poster child for this most recently is from Ohio. In Ohio, there will likely be a constitutional amendment on the ballot in November that would block Republicans in the future from banning abortion before viability, which is about 24 weeks of pregnancy. So essentially, that would establish at the state level what Roe v. Wade had nationwide for 5 decades. And given public opinion polling, the measure would probably have majority support to pass. So, are Republicans in Ohio planning to respect the majority of voters this November? You already know the answer. I wouldn't be bringing this up. The answer is no. They are racing to put up a ballot measure in August that would say, going forward, constitutional amendments need a 60% vote to pass. And of course, their amendment would only need a simple majority to pass, and then it would change the rules for every constitutional amendment proposal that follows. The Times quotes Kelly Hall, the executive director of the Fairness Project, which supports citizen-sponsored ballot initiatives across the country, as a check on gerrymandered state legislatures like Ohio's. And she says, quote, "There are a lot of elected officials leading state legislatures that are being unapologetic, brazen, relentless about the fact that they don't care what voters think on this issue and that their ideological stance is going to dictate the outcome." And she's right. Right-wing politicians know they can't get majority support once voters know what they really stand for. So, like Republicans in Wisconsin in 2010, you win power promising things like local control. Then you win, you redraw the maps, you start removing local control, you start removing majority respect for the voters, and pretty soon the minority has taken control. And that's how in Ohio, 41% of people could block constitutional changes that the majority wants. David DeWitt of the Ohio Capital Journal reminds us of just how corrupt this is, because Ohio Republicans a few months ago actually eliminated August special elections, saying that they cost too much money. But now they're coming back and creating one this coming August because they feel like it as a way to, again, change the rules. It's kind of funny how that fiscal conservatism only exists when it's politically convenient, huh? By the way, as I mentioned, Ohio Republicans are also in power simply because of gerrymandered maps after two Trump-appointed federal judges overruled the Ohio Supreme Court in a matter that continues to go on there, much like in Wisconsin. Usually, you know, redistricting is something you hear about once every 10 years, but you're going to hear about this throughout the decade yet until a lot of these corrupt maps are finally dealt with and made right again and made more representative. Let's look at Missouri, where last week, you'll recall, an unarmed black teenager was shot and wounded after going to the wrong house to pick up his younger siblings. He was shot by an old white guy who'd been jacked up on fear from years of watching right-wing TV. And in Missouri, Republican legislators had a rather unusual reaction to all that. Rather than talk about, you know, gun safety measures, they passed a bill allowing guns to be carried on public transportation buses and in houses of worship over the objections of pastors, rabbis, others who don't want guns in their churches and synagogues and temples and mosques and what have you. But again, you don't have to listen to the will of the people if you want what you want and are willing to ram through the result. Over in Montana, Republicans are not only sticking to banning care for transgender youth, they're moving to censure one of their colleagues, a trans woman, for criticizing them about the bill. I mean, talk about your snowflakes, right? The Republicans repeatedly and intentionally misgendered the fellow legislator and accused Representative Zoe Zephyr of hateful rhetoric. And here's what else should get you worked up. During debate on a separate bill about gender issues, the Speaker of the Montana House refused to recognize Representative Zephyr to allow her to speak on the bill. So say what you will about the bill's contents, but refusing to recognize somebody duly elected on the floor of the legislature because they were afraid of that person is nothing but bullying in a nicer building. Bullying is a better option for Montana Republicans than respecting democracy. The Montana legislature took up several measures targeting transgender people last week. Representative Zephyr says she was aware that there would be such bills, but she had hoped Republicans would spend more of their time on the serious issues affecting their constituents, like an affordable housing crisis. To transgender people like herself, Zephyr had a message. She said, "We're going to win in the end. These bills will go down ultimately in the courts. We will find support in our community. And someday legislatures will stop bringing harmful bills like the ones we see. Until that happens, lean on your community and stay alive." A very heartfelt message to the trans community and their allies from the representative from Montana. We will take a break and have more coming up in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio. You can get our daily newsletter just by going to upnorthnewswi.com. Click on newsletter in the top banner. We'll be back.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
All right, Kristen Lyerly joins us now. Morning, how are you? You were working all weekend.
I was. Everybody's working. I was working for the weekend.
Working over the weekend. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, right.
We're glad those naughty babies allowed you to have a little time with us here. And so we're going to go over some things in the news and life overall. Aaron, don't go away yet. I'm gonna start with something a little lighter here. You are our vinyl aficionado, right? You got a little vinyl, some albums?
I have some, yeah.
Okay. Did you do anything special for National Record Store Day?
I did not. I thought about it, and then I was like, you know what? I don't need to spend more money right now, so I decided not to.
Okay. And about how many records do you have?
Maybe like 30-ish.
Okay. All right. Kristen, vinyl?
I have my mom's record collection from the 50s and 60s.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I probably have 300.
Do you have something to play it on?
I do. My kids got me a turntable for Christmas one year.
Oh, that was nice. Okay.
They were so proud of themselves.
See, and I'm definitely in the old curmudgeon category where I say, yeah, I did that. I also used to watch black and white TV, and my grandma had one of those washing machines with a ringer where you, you know, would wring the clothes out because the dryer had. So we have digital music. Why would I want vinyl? And now this is where you both tell me, oh, Pat, you couldn't be more wrong. There's something about the crackle. There's something about the way it skips when it gets a scratch on it, right?
It's charming.
Is that it?
Yeah. Plus the physicality of just like having your big old album. And
the physicality of having to get up and move it to the next song if you don't like the song that's on, right?
Who does that? Whoever does that?
People who don't like the song they're hearing, which is why they go to the next song. That's why they had a fast forward button on cassette players as well. So, and on CD players.
I feel like it's more of an event. Like you really have to be paying attention to the music playing instead of just turning something on and it's just on.
I guess
what
so.
We're more used to.
Well, when I saw a news story about it over the weekend, and this was in the Twin Cities, I saw a station there when I was in Rice Lake over the weekend, and they were talking about one of the old classic record stores called they had a chain there called the Electric Fetus.
Uh-huh.
And in Eau Claire, I remember you could hear nothing but radio commercials back in the day for Truckers Union. And of course, if you're in the eastern part of the state, Aaron, I think you're gonna know this one. Aaron, say it with me. The Exclusive Company.
Oh, I wasn't sure. Yeah. But yeah, I've gotten a couple from there.
Not anymore.
Oh, they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. There
but that go. Was that was what I grew up with, was the Exclusive Company in Appleton.
Yeah.
That was where I bought all my records.
Oh, those commercials were everywhere all the time. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to get
that
note out.
They had everything. I mean, you wanted some obscure dance hit from Europe, it was there. Mm-hmm.
That is true, and that was half the fun. It was like, you know, the comic book store you're looking for, you know, just the right edition of such and such a thing, whereas I know I'm just parked on my butt all day and I can look up things on the internet if I want to see something rare. But
right.
Anyway, if you had a favorite record store, if I'm missing a chain, or if I'm missing the point on vinyl, or if you have something you want to recommend, you can feel free to give us a call at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. We would love to hear from you, especially as we talk about music every morning at 6:50, along with a little history lesson. So if you want to give us some advice or set me straight on vinyl, please go right ahead and do that. Kristen, let's turn to the, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to UFO in Green Bay, is just nostalgic. It's fun. It's just really fun and it's great and it's a small business and highly recommended if you're in Northeastern Wisconsin, stop in and visit UFO.
Where's that about? Is that downtown or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Let's talk about a couple of things that have been in the news. Late last week, the U.S. Supreme Court made a decision, although not a permanent decision, on mifepristone, which is one of the medications used for abortion and to manage miscarriages and things like that. And Kristen, as an OBGYN, you were watching this all week long. So what can you tell us about your interpretation of what the Supreme Court did in allowing its use to continue nationwide?
Mifepristone the Supreme Court kept mifepristone FDA approved and available, which for us in Wisconsin means that we will continue to use it to manage miscarriages. That's really the only use that we have in Wisconsin since abortion is banned in Wisconsin, essentially. But in other states, it means that mifepristone will continue to be able to be used for abortion. In other states, this really is a de facto abortion ban. It's just another way that the right is trying to take away people's access to the medications that provide this kind of care.
What's your view on what I've heard others say about women who live in states like Wisconsin with bans can, if they want it, there are places, I guess, like overseas where they can have this sent to them. Is that a realistic option?
Oh, yeah. It's the only option for a lot of people who live in banned states.
So what you're saying really is some of these places that are being recommended, they have a good record.
They have a good record. Aid Access is the one that I recommend most often. Mm-hmm. People can go to Aid Access, fill out a short questionnaire, get their medications in the mail, and they can perform their own abortion if they need to. The downside is that you're doing it on your own. So as a doctor, it makes me feel like I am abandoning my patients when they need me the most. And that's not healthcare. But if that's what we need to do for now, that's what we need to do.
Well, and we may have to do things in the healthcare realm that aren't optimal for more reasons than that. And I bring that up because a new report indicates that in states with abortion bans, including Wisconsin, they have seen a steep drop in the number of applicants for OBGYN residencies. So they're coming out of med school. And then they have to go do a residency, usually a four-year residency, where you're more closely supervised at some program. And then you can go out and kind of hang your shingle and practice on your own. But you have to apply to these residencies and be accepted. And Wisconsin has a couple of them. Now, I don't think you have the exact Wisconsin figure. The group that put this together, the Association of American Medical Colleges, simply lumped together all the states with abortion bans. But it was a more than 10% drop in applicants. And I guess this kind of goes in the I told you so category.
Yeah, what a surprise that doctors who are not allowed to do what's best for their patients or they might go to prison don't want to practice in those states.
Yeah, shocking, huh?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But this is something that we were absolutely anticipating because we talk to the medical students, we talk to the residents, we understand what's happening in that environment. There are three residency programs in Wisconsin. And actually, we have increased the number of medical schools in Wisconsin recently in acknowledgement of the rural health crisis that we have. We need more doctors in rural areas to provide care for everyone, including women's health care, which includes abortion care. But, you know, unfortunately, this has an impact on not only OBGYNs, but this report looked at all medical specialties. And the one that was hit the hardest, you're not going to like it, emergency medicine.
Sure.
Emergency medicine applications and matching in banned states went down remarkably. And those are the docs that, I mean, talk about a safety net. That's, remember George W. Bush saying, well, anybody can go to the emergency department. Well, not if you don't have a provider there to take care of you.
Exactly. It's affecting much more than OBGYN care. It's affecting overall health care and will for years to come. Frankly, even if a new Wisconsin Supreme Court later this year were to instantly overturn the ban, there's already going to be impact here because, again, at least for this 1 year, you've seen a reduction in people applying for these residencies. You've already had a tough enough time gathering, you know, recruiting and retaining doctors, especially to come to northern Wisconsin, to rural Wisconsin. The Washington Post talked to one 26-year-old resident, Lucy Brown, who had decided against some very reputable medical residencies in some states like Texas and Florida, Indiana. She ended up going to a different state instead where she could get all of the options that are available to her as a physician. And so from Maryland, she said, when you're in a blue state, you can give your patient all the options. But in a red state, you're like, sorry, there's nothing more we can do. And that no doctor wants to have, you know, feel that powerless, because especially because of some politicians.
I can't look my patients in the eye in those situations. That's why I'm practicing in Minnesota right now, because I just can't do it in Wisconsin. And hopefully we'll be able to get it ironed out so that we can take care of each other again. But for now, losing people like Dr. Brown, she's the best and the brightest. They also quote Dr. Nikki Zeit, who's a high-risk pregnancy doctor in Tennessee and a friend of mine. And I mean, Dr. Zeit has been fighting in the worst, the most difficult of conditions. You know, you can only keep doing this. You can only keep swimming upstream for so long before you just give in and you just can't anymore. So, I mean, Pat, I don't even know what to tell you. When I read the story, I was like, yep, that's what's happening.
Well, thank you. It is. And it is to say that it is still going to be important in every election to try to restore the rights that women had prior to this. Every election is going to be about it. But even then, the fact that, you know, certain people were allowed to, you know, be elected president and appointed the Supreme Court justices that they did, you know, I mean, again, for every time I'd hear, you know, well, you know, George Bush is somebody I'd like to have a beer with. Well, you can have a beer with him, but, you know, your daughter's life is, you know, it has fewer rights, and you may have put her life in danger because you want to have a beer with this guy who's going to appoint right-wing justices to the Supreme Court. These elections matter so much more than who's got nice commercials and who you want to have a beer with.
Yes, we all need politicians to stay as far away from our exam rooms as possible. We need trusted leaders, trusted people in our lives. We need science. We need evidence. We need to make our own decisions for ourselves. And that does not include having a politician in on the conversation.
And if you missed it earlier in the hour, I talked about how in Ohio, abortion rights supporters are about to get a constitutional amendment on the November ballot that would, you know, allow essentially, the standards of Roe v. Wade to come back into effect in Ohio. But Republicans who have gerrymandered maps are going to rig things further. They're going to call a special election for August for a measure that says, oh, we're going to change the rules. Constitutional amendments can't pass by a majority anymore. They got to have a supermajority of 60%. And they come right out and say it's because of the abortion issue. It really is. It's zealotry is what it is. You have zealots who are willing to trample on democracy and, you know, rig the election process so that a minority of people can get their way.
That constitutional amendment in Ohio is a game changer for them. The way that they are having to take care of their patients right now does not serve the people of Ohio whatsoever. 99% of people would be able to get the care that they needed if they're able to pass this amendment. And the people of Ohio know it. This is just, like you said, Pat, I mean, this is just not democracy.
No, and it's something that, again, we continue to bang that drum. Others will continue to, because this is just not your ordinary run-of-the-mill political issue. This is an issue in the real lives of women and their families every day. This is not an election day thing. This is a 365-day thing that, again, you have Wisconsin Republicans now saying, well, maybe we'll carve out some exceptions for rape and incest in the 1849 ban. And the point is to get that message to them that that's not good enough.
I'd like them. That's the one time I'd like them in the exam room, to sit with me and hear a victim of rape or incest explain what happened and go through the trauma and have them really understand what happens and that this is a person that we're dealing with, not a political football. This is not, we're not pawns. This is real life.
It is. Now, when we come back, we will take things on a different level. We will again talk about this day in history. We'll take a little music break, and we're going to talk about Booyah. You ever have Booyah?
I love Booyah.
Do you now? Okay.
Yeah.
I honestly grew up in a neighborhood where it was like the signs were ubiquitous everywhere. Some church was having, you know, Booyah. I honestly don't know if I've ever had it. I have to think
it's
about
chicken
that.
Chicken soup.
Well, I don't give it away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes to tell you more. This is Up North News Radio. Happy 81st birthday to Barbara Streisand.
81.
This is Stony End. I forget if it's from like, I think 1967, something like that. I would say it's my favorite Barbara Streisand song, but it's also because almost every other one of them is really slow, very syrupy or sappy, you know, I'm a woman in love and, you know, Evergreen and things like that. They're all fine songs, but let's pick up the pace here, Barbara. So that's why I like this one.
I don't think I've heard this one before.
Well, the thing is, she hasn't either. She doesn't do concerts very often, and she had never included this one. And a concert, that was probably about 10 years ago now, but she was taking requests from the audience, and all these folks were requesting.
Kreitler's out there going,
yeah, me, Stony End. And it's a great little video clip. I wish I had found it. She said, I honestly remember nothing about the song. I haven't sung it in, you know, 30 years. And so the band, you know, started it, and basically the whole crowd sang it to her because she didn't
really
know the words anymore. Yeah.
That's crazy. Fun moment.
I know. Those are some. And then, of course, she bailed out after half the song. She's like, okay, enough of that, because she wanted to sing, but she didn't know that song. So Barbara Streisand, 81 years old today. The number one song in America on this day in 1961 was from Del Shannon. To end this misery, and I wonder why. That would be Del Shannon hitting notes that would injure me if I tried to reach them with a Runaway from 1961. Now, here's a very interesting story about the song that was number one on this day in 1968, but in the United Kingdom, it wasn't anywhere near that in the U.S. Here's Louis Armstrong. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself. Classic, right?
That just makes me feel happy. What a wonderful, it's in that classic, mellow kind of happy way.
Number one in England. In America, it stalled at number 116 because of one jerk. Guy named Larry Newton was the president of ABC Records. He didn't like the song. He thought it was too slow. He wanted Louis Armstrong to play some other faster song. Louis Armstrong and others told him to get out of the studio, leave them alone. And so because of that, he refused to promote it. So the song never got promoted, never really charted in the U.S. until 1988, when it appeared in the movie Good Morning Vietnam and returned to the charts. Rolling Stone ranks it number 171 on the top 500 best songs of all time.
I think that used to happen a lot. It was about your promoter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your what do they call them? Your A&R guy? Man, if they don't like you. So much power. 1979, the song was much older by that point, but on this day in 1979, Ray Charles sang Georgia on My Mind at a ceremony where it was named the official state song of Georgia.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through.
And again, like what a wonderful world. You got to be in the mindset for it of just playing something slow and, you know, you're in the right frame of mind. You're going to turn this one up because it's Ray Charles.
Yeah, it's so smooth.
One more birthday to pass along. Yeah, from this day in 1982, happy 41st birthday to Kelly Clarkson.
Here's the thing, we started out friends. It was cool, but it was all pretend. Yeah, yeah, since you've been gone.
You got a favorite Kelly Clarkson song that you want to share with us here, Kristen?
No, I don't think so. I really loved watching her on American Idol. She was the first American Idol winner.
I
kicked it off.
You know what? As I was poking around for songs and clips and things, I was never an American Idol viewer, and I always wondered what that first season looked like with her. And so on YouTube, they have like highlights of that season. And from her very first appearance, I mean, you just knew she was fearless, brash, and talent like you wouldn't believe. That voice is crazy.
Like, not just her voice, I mean her personality. Like, yes. Obviously she was the package. Look what she's doing now, all these years later.
Yeah. And again, I don't, she's got a daytime talk show, which again, while I'm not a regular viewer, every so often I hear that she did this song or that song. She's 41 years old. She's still got the pipes. Mm-hmm. They still work. Yeah. Let's see. Also born on this day, Cedric the Entertainer. Cedric Kyles was his birth name. He's 59 years old today. And again, reminds me of every time somebody, I'm surprised to see they're the same age as me, because I assume that they're older. And he's not. He's, yeah, he's the same age as me, which is very, very troubling for me. But
and then you see somebody who's younger and you're like, what?
Yeah.
I can't be older than that person.
I know.
But you are.
Yes, exactly. This day in 1989, Tom Petty's first album as a solo artist, Full Moon Fever, is released. Singles included I Won't Back Down, Free Fallin', and Running Down a Dream, my favorite. And Full Moon
Fever.
That just
makes me want to dance.
Doesn't it, though? Yeah. Very good album. All right. We looked at the Up North News newsletter, and I've got one audio clip to play from you. As we look back to the year 2020, when COVID was still new and scaring the hell out of everybody, and we're wondering, what is it going to take to fight this thing? We knew what it was not going to take to fight this thing, and that was not listening to not a Nobel Prize in Medicine winner, Donald Trump, who wondered out loud during a press conference, if disinfectants could be injected into people, Lysol had to issue a public advisory not to ingest its products after Donald Trump said this.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to ask Bill a question that probably some of you are thinking of if you're totally into that world, which I find to be very interesting. So supposing we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, and I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that, too. Sounds interesting.
We'll get the right folks who could.
Right. And then I see the disinfectant that knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that?
No.
Injection
okay.
inside or almost a cleaning, because you see it gets in the lungs and it does a tremendous number in the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check
in your lungs.
So
oh, God. Gonna... Okay, stop. Make
Good
it stop.
Idea.
He
Make
sure
it
is
stop.
Right that it does a tremendous number on the lungs.
It does a tremendous number on the lungs. Yes, it does. And then 1 year later in 2021, both Senator Ron Johnson and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, also not noted to have won a Nobel Prize in Medicine, we came under fire for criticizing their efforts to get the COVID vaccine to everyone. They were speculating that only high-risk individuals should be vaccinated when it was already crystal clear that COVID was killing many, many people who didn't fit whatever definition of high-risk they were using. And then 1 year ago today, Connecticut businessman Tim Michels filed paperwork to run in the Republican primary for Wisconsin governor. We see how that went, don't we? So sometimes things work out all right.
Sometimes.
Only with a lot of work from the voters. Take a break. News, weather, and more coming back after this on Up North News Radio.